Man, I toyed with turning the cameras off with this. And there's a part of me that says no in the moment. The whole plan from Thursday in my heart was we were going to just do an in-house. For some reason, the Holy Spirit's saying no. So we'll see what happens. So if you're watching online, just take away from where you are and step into the presence. I believe God has something for you too. Let's go to John chapter 4 again. A couple months ago, when God blessed me with the opportunity to be able to proclaim his word again, we visited this passage. But we're going to take a different view. Thank you, DJ. A different view of the passage, and we're going to find some truths that I think we need. Church, Thursday, a verse was said to me that I think we need to adopt as a church. It's in Philippians. Maybe you've heard it, where Paul's speaking, and he says, hey, I'm going to press on towards the mark for the prize. That high calling that's in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that verse? But the one leading up to it's been echoing in my mind. It says, forgetting the things that are behind me. And what? Yeah, you're fixing your view on what? What's ahead? I'm going to lay aside some weights. We're going to do those things. Isn't that what Hebrews tells us to do? Because you have a cloud of witnesses. Lay down your sin. Lay down your burden. Lay down your hardship and press on. Let's go. I'm summarizing the passage, but go check it out in Hebrews. You know, we look at this and I realize that if we're not careful, we will get in a season of proving ourselves. And you and I will never succeed. We will never find peace and we will never find contentment if we are striving to prove our faith. But if we will stand approved by God in faith, we'll see mountains move. And we'll see people healed. And we'll see people cleaned. And we'll see the unholy become holy and the unrighteous become righteous. Not because of who we are. See, if we perform and try to prove, then we will never be able to give people what they need. You and I, at our best, will fall short. We will come very short of attaining what we need from God in righteousness and holy. We do not have the ability to stand right before God absent Jesus Christ. But God, right? Aren't you thankful today that when you stand before God, it's based on what Jesus has done as a child of God instead of being based on what you and I have done with our lives? But when I realize what Jesus has done, it changes my life. When I realize I am loved and I am chosen, it changes the way I view what's going on around me. Some of you right now are hearing echoes of your past instead of hearing the echo of the whisper of the Holy Spirit in your life talking about God's love in your present. And so today we are going to take on something that I think is very much just misplaced in church. It's not because we don't believe in it. It's because we just believe everybody knows how to do it. And we're going to talk about how to care for other people. So please write this down. Somebody gave me this week. Care, and they broke it down. C, compassion. A, acceptance. Cindy, it was you, so I'm going to give you credit. A, acceptance. R, relationships. E, encouragement. If we're going to care, the Bible says some have compassion making a difference. We've said this so many times in years past. You need passion and compassion. One without the other will not work. A passion says, I'm going to drive forward. We're going to get this done. We're going to win the world for Jesus Christ. We're going to rescue another lost person this week. We're going to see another person recovered. That is what gives us the drive. But without compassion, you don't have the brakes, and you'll run people over in your drive. And compassion says, we're going to do whatever's necessary to meet the person's need. We're going to do what it takes. We're going to be patient. We're going to be loving. We're going to be kind. We're going to have long suffering. We're going to have forgiveness. We're going to do the things that needs to happen in somebody's life in order for them to change. Write it down. You do not, nor do others, change overnight. You can change your mind, but your mind has to change your actions and your body. But I'm going to tell you this, you won't even change your mind until you change your spirit and who's in control of your life. You can be saved today and not have God's control of your heart. You can still maintain control of your life while being a child of God. And if you are that way, then there's a constant struggle. Paul would say, man, my flesh is nasty. right? It's able to do anything. And because of that, I'm at constant war within myself, doing the things I don't want to do, not doing the things I do want to do. I'm paraphrasing because it can get confusing. And he's saying, hey, it's constantly warring within me. But then he gets to chapter 7 where he says, but Jesus. And because of Jesus, and because of who he is in my life, and because of who he is in your life, when I surrender that control of my life to him, now I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, but now I also, while dead, live. You say, well, how do you live dead? You live well when you're dead and Christ is alive in you. But when you're alive, it's as if Christ is still dead. Can I say that again? When you're in control and alive and your will and your desires and your wants are running your life, then it's as if Christ is dead and not having any power over your life. That's when we do things that we wish we'd never done. That's when we do things that we regret doing later. That's when we do things that are outside of our nature, our spiritual nature, but in our fleshly nature, and we never have peace doing those things when we're in control. Amen? Anybody been there? Okay. Compassion says, I realize that people have flesh. Write it down. I realize that they have a carnal nature. I realize that they're going to have mood swings. I realize that even the person that's trying and striving so hard, by the way, it's different when you're thriving in Christ than when you're striving towards Christ. And in your thriving, you know, you can be on a mountaintop one day. Well, let's put it this way. You could have built the ark that saved the world and saved mankind and all the animals on the world from a nasty flood and get off that boat and go get drunk. Are you with me? You could have been in the very presence of God where you knew you just accomplished the greatest work God ever called you to do. You were in the boat that God shut the door and sealed it and protected your family, but then you get off the boat and nothing else is the same. And guess what you do? The same person capable of saving the world is the same person capable of sin. Are you with me? All right, understand this. We look at Lot, and Lot rescues his wife so far as her will would allow. Rescues his daughters, gets outside of the city, gets drunk, and sleeps with his daughters. And then Peter says in the book of Peter that Lot was a righteous man because he obeyed God. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm saying this, that even the righteous, taking their eyes off of Jesus, can find some unrighteousness to get into. Are you with me? And compassion says this, I know you're not perfect, but his love is. I know that because he's loved me. We love him because he first loved us. Say it with me. We love him because he first loved us. Man, he loved you before you even knew how to love. Isn't that amazing? It's like loving your little baby. I mean, when Canaan came out, I wasn't sitting there saying, love me and I'll love you back. No, you're sitting there, oh, whoopee-doopee, you know. Please don't ask me to do that with my voice again. It's probably why I left the camera on. So yeah, there it is. There's your clip. I loved her from the moment, right? Before that moment. Both of my kids, Lincoln the same. Before they even knew they were my kids, I loved them. Before they could even call me daddy, I loved them. Any mom and dad know what I'm talking about here? And if tomorrow they decide that they'll never call me dad again, guess what? I still love them. And you know what? I'm human, and I have a nature that is not necessarily godly all the time, and so do you. And if I can love my children that much, the Bible says if you who are earthly can give your kids such good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father love you today? And compassion says, I may be mad at you and frustrated with you, but I'm going to love you through it. So then you got the acceptance. Acceptance says, I'm not happy with your sin, but I'm not going to leave you because of it. You are accepted into the family of God today. You carry the name of Jesus today, even though God knows that at some point you're going to mar that name. My kids, you know, my wife and my son, they will carry the Moore name, God willing, for the rest of their lives. My daughter will have to make a choice. I'm going to threaten the boy's life and all those other things to see, you know, she's going to bring a guy home one day. She ain't going to his house. He's coming over, all right? And then we're going to sit down and we're going to talk. And one day he's going to ask for her hand, which means he's going to put his name on her life. And my prayer is that his name is on his life before his name goes to hers. Are you with me? Gosh, man, I'm not ready for that moment. I'm about to have a breakdown right here. It's going to happen. Isn't it amazing today that God says, before you knew me, I knew you. Before you chose me, I chose you. Before you knew how to call me daddy, I was there ready and willing, calling you son and calling you daughter. You know, when you realize you're accepted, you didn't have to earn that admission. God gave it to you through Jesus Christ. It changes you, doesn't it? That's how we should look at other people. The rapist in jail right now, the murderer, child molester, the thief, they're accepted by God. Let that resonate. Let that stew. I firmly believe that the Holy Spirit is just as present behind bars right now as it is in this church. Are you with me? And that the love of God is being made just as available behind bars right now as it is in this church. I believe that the person that's waking up beside the person that's not supposed to be waking up beside each other right now, that the Holy Spirit's presence is right there. You say, well, I don't believe it. I believe that he'll run. Hey, I'm going to tell you this now. If you believe that God will abandon anyone, then you don't believe in the same God I believe in. Because the God I know is the God that says, I'll go with you always. Even into what? The ends of the earth. I'll go with you in your good. I'll go with you in your bad. It's the same God that lets it rain on the fields of the just and the unjust. And if we are going to be a church that cares, we got to have compassion, but we also have to have acceptance and understanding this. That doesn't mean that we're okay with you living in sin. It just simply means that if you have sin, we're okay with you still coming in, knowing that if Jesus were to make his way into your life, that your sin would make its way out. And we're not going to sit here and say, you're a terrible person because you got this sin or that sin. We're going to sit here and say, the love of God is good enough to rescue and to cleanse and to heal from all unrighteousness today. And so if we accept people where they are and for who they are, then we can see God move in their life. Care, accept. And then the next one was relationship. You don't really care about somebody just because you see them on a Sunday and say, I love you. Matter of fact, I love you is the most misused phrase in our world. We just throw it around like it's garbage, don't we? Some people say, I love you to their dog. They say, I love you to their wife. They say, I love you to their kids. And you look at it and you're just like, okay, they love everybody. But I've had a lot of people tell me they love me, but their actions prove totally different. Anybody else? I'm going to tell you this now. We're not family just because you sit in the same building today. We're family because he sits in our hearts today. Because he rules and reigns here. And the relationship that comes through that comes from our ability to say, you and I are supposed to not just be in this world, but we're supposed to be in this life together. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, I want you to get saved, and then just kind of leave it up to us? Hey, here's Jesus. He died for you. He rose for you. Get saved. Good. See ya. Figure it out. Grab the Bible. You figure out the rest of your life. No, he gave us the Holy Spirit to interpret and to speak even when we're not allowing the Holy Word to speak through us. Are you with me? You got a conscience even when you don't want one. Right? Your kids get them before they even get Jesus. If you don't believe it, walk in the room when they're doing something they shouldn't. Open the cookie jar after they've raided. And what do you see on their faces? The whole story. You're like, what's wrong? Nothing. Liar. Right? Like, you can't lie that good. And if you can lie that good, well, we're going to wear that out of you. I'm just kidding. Not really. The Bible says if we spare the discipline, we hate our children. Now, we're not saying abuse, and we're not saying misuse, and we're not saying that you should yell and scream and give spankings and then just walk away. No, I've always said discipline without explanation is abuse. Discipline without correction is abuse. This is what you did wrong. This is how you can do it right. But you know what? Every discipline needs to be met with, but I still love you. I'm still going to be here. You know, like, I cry with my kids. My wife laughs every time I give my kids a spanking. Because I'll grab them and right on the diaper, pop. My kids laugh when I give them a spanking. The truth is you say, no. I'm simply saying this. I trust the word of God. And the Bible says if we spare the rod, we hate the kid. And I'm not going to hate my kid. But I'm not going to hurt my kid either. Are you following this? We're going to keep the relationship healthy. We're going to keep the relationship moving. What's it take for a healthy relationship? Somebody tell me. Communication. I knew that would be number one. All right, communication. Trust. I knew that would be number two. Loyalty. Hey, by the way, No. Strike it. Take loyalty and throw it away. You can still have a relationship even when the person's being disloyal. If you don't believe that, let my wife stand right here and preach for a moment. Was I loyal to her? Absolutely not. Did I make mistakes? Yes. Did I hurt her? Yes. Did I break that? Yes. But you know what? She never surrendered the relationship. Are you with me? Loyalty is good, but loyalty is not something that's constant in our lives. We live in America to where if a new fast food chain comes out today, all the Burger King and McDonald's loyal people will be at the new place this afternoon. Am I right? How many of you are guilty? All right, there it is. The rest of you are liars. You know, I've shopped at this store for 20 years. Wait till they open one 2 minutes from your house. You won't shop there anymore. Am I right? You say it takes loyalty to have a relationship. No, but it does take commitment, doesn't it? Commitment says I'm going to stick it out and I'm going to stay no matter what. What else does it take? Communication, we got that. And what else? Hey, forgiveness. Who said that? All right, right up there. Okay, forgiveness. Respect. Ooh, respect. Ooh, yeah, trust. Patience. Time. Who said it? There it is. Time. Humility. Isn't it amazing? Y'all know all the answers. Then why aren't we nicer? Am I right? I'm not saying you're mean people. All right? By the way, if you were a mean person, you would have already left because the conviction would have been so real on your life you couldn't handle it. Right? Now understand, and when I say already left, I'm talking about in this moment, you would not be able to stay here without changing. Isn't that a beauty of the Holy Spirit? He comes in and says, I got something better. You can either choose this or you're going to have to move. But he's not going to let you stay where you are. And understand that you're going to have to go cold or hot, but he ain't going to let you stay in the middle. And so you're saying, well, I don't like it, but here's the reality. If I don't talk to my wife, if I'm not hanging out with my wife, if I don't spend time with my wife, then me and my wife are naturally going to grow apart. You know, we've been in a COVID season that I believe, and none of this is my message, that I believe is really tearing apart our relationships. I mean, even people coming out of COVID right now, fully vaccinated, whatever you want to say, maskless and all these other things, have a hard time relating to other people. So let's give you a freebie. Ready? Write it down. How do you relate to someone? You do not relate through somebody through like interest, similar areas. That's not how you relate to somebody. You relate to somebody by being interested in who they are. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy? You want a better relationship? All you married people, listen to me. You want a better marriage. Those of you dating or will be dating, let me give you this. If you want a better relationship with a person you're trying to grow intimacy with, take a interest in their interest and make their interest a priority. You know what happens? You become relational. All right, let's look at this real quick, okay? How many of you enjoy hiking? That is your thing. Give me outdoors, all that other. Raise your hand. Let's see it. All right, okay. All right, just checking. Okay, there's quite a few. All right, take your hands down. That's awesome. How many of you hate bugs, hate snakes, and would rather have the indoors? I mean, I like to be outside. In a neatly mowed yard so I can see everything in it, right? All right? You say, let's go on an adventure. Let's walk to the fence. Let's do that. Yesterday, during church with no walls, which was amazing, by the way, for those that got to come, don't miss the next one. All right? I enjoyed it. I got to play with my kids while listening the whole time. Lincoln kept going up to the top of the hill as close to the woods as he could get. And I knew what was on his mind. We did not have the same interest. His mind was, he kept looking for small things. And Lincoln has this little out of the corner of his eye look. And all of a sudden, you can tell. It's almost like his walk slows down and he's going to jet. And so he got there and I said, don't do it. Libby's preaching. I'm preaching too. Don't do it. All of a sudden, he stops and he looks at me. He sits down, takes his hands, puts them on his head. and just lays back in the weeds. And he's just sitting there, and I'm like, you need to get out of those weeds. There's ticks, there's chiggers, there's all kinds of things. There's these, what do they call them, cicadas? What are those called? I mean, those things are screaming. They got red eyes. They look like they're demon-possessed, you know? And it's like all the other things. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, but this is really cute. Let me take a picture. Get out of the weeds after I take my picture. You know what I mean? It's like, we're going to act like we are woods people. And as soon as I hit click, you're getting up. You know what I mean? It's like, this is it. Lincoln's interests are climbing and jumping and running and doing that. And his mom is just the same. Adventurer to the T. My version of relaxing is sitting down somewhere that is very safe. I don't mind being outside. But once I start seeing the flies and I get bit by the mosquitoes, you say, oh man, you're too city. No, 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 no. We have different interests. Does that make sense? You with me? God has a sense of humor and has kept me in the woods long enough over this season of my life, but that's just how it goes. Understand this. Half of you like hiking. Stick your hands up. Here it is. How many of you enjoy the outdoors but don't enjoy the woods? Stick your hands up. Let's see that. All right. There's a few of us. Okay. How many of you would rather go bowling than hiking? Isn't it crazy that bowling's outdated? I don't know. Now you got a wee bowl or something like that. I throw my arm out when I wee bowl, but anyway. All right. How many of you would rather go to a sport game? Stick your hands up. All right. Good deal. So this family, Glenn, the Bowman family, are blessed with height. Am I right? Your son got a scholarship to play at Walter State, got offered at Memphis. Noah's going to Walter State. I took Noah with me to work one day, and we were showing houses. And the guy was like, Noah, can you get through that door? Noah, can you do this? He was measuring the house with Noah, you know? And it was a cool thing. And he was like, that guy was awesome. You need to bring him next time. I was like, well, maybe Noah needs to get his real estate license because apparently he sold the house, all right? So here it is. But Noah can play ball. And some of you have no sports skills at all. Am I right? Where's my uncoordinated people? Raise your hand. Does that mean you can't get along with Noah? No, you can share in his interests too. You can enjoy him while still being enjoyed by him. See, can I tell you this? You shouldn't pick and choose which activities you want to be involved in. You should realize that if you have the availability and you want to grow in relationship, doesn't matter what's happening, you're going to be there. You know why? Because the person matters, not what's happening. And so when I take an interest in your interest, then our relationship grows. When I go beyond taking an interest, but I start paying attention to the things that make you happy. If you're a boss, one of the best things you can do is find out what your employees like to do and where they like to eat and where they like to go, and every now and then throw them a gift card. Every now and then say, where are you? Hey, every now and then say, hey, let's go do this. Are you following this? We've gotten away from that at Grace Community Church. This is why I was going to take off the cameras, because I'm going to talk to you as a church today. Visitors, you are part of the family. We are not sitting here saying you're excluded from this conversation. If this is the church that God lines you up at, or if God takes you somewhere else, this is stuff that matters. We have got to get back to relationships in our church places, not just at Grace, all over the world, because people right now feel isolated and lonely, suicide shooting through the roof, addiction is going haywire, and all these things are happening. Why? Because people are not good alone. Even Adam in a perfect state needed somebody. Are you with me? Even God said, I won't fulfill him unless I give him somebody else to fulfill him through. Are you with me? Eve was a gift to Adam. Another way of which God could make himself known to Adam. The person sitting beside you today that might be your husband or wife or family, or the person sitting across the church that you have no idea who they are, the person in front of you and behind you today is God's gift to you to let you know that he's in your life and relationships where God's physical presence being made known in our lives. And God would leave Adam at times to the garden, and God would have him in there. But the Bible says that God would come at a certain time of day to walk, but Eve was there all day. Are you following this? It's the time in our nation where people are lonely and the church should be present. It's a time that we should say, I'm not going to leave you alone. Randy Harden prayed over Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, and he said, God, help us to see the person that feels like they're invisible. Newsflash, there are people like that sitting in this very room right now, and they need to know they matter. You shouldn't come in today looking more for a seat than you're looking for a person. How can I love you today? How can I meet your needs today? How can I care about you? Be relational. Take an interest in their interest. You want to know how to get to a family? Through the kids. You love their kids, and guess what they'll do for you? They'll love you back. Am I right? You have fun with them, they'll have fun with you. Libby, I know I didn't get your permission for this. I don't even know where you're sitting. There you are. I sat down with her before yesterday. She asked me a question, and Libby, I think it's a very great question, and I'm just going to vocalize it on, is it bad that you wish there were more? And I looked at her and I said, absolutely not, because that's vision. But you know what the truth is, and you know what I love about Libby? With a lot or with a few, she's going to love the who. The who are there. You could leave this place and somebody asks you about your church, they'll want to know how many. But I'm going to guarantee you this now. If they walk through the doors next week and we're full, that won't matter to them. That will not make their decision on whether or not they're coming back. That will not make their decision whether or not they're going to get invested in a small group. It will not draw them into a closer relationship with the church. You know what will? Relationship. People caring about each other. You can have five people in a building that sits 1,000 that loves people, and there will be 7 next week. There'll be 10 the next week. There'll be 20 the next week. It will grow through love, but nothing grows without love. Love is the soil of which the heart finds its roots. Love is the soil of which we find our nutrients and our growth. Love casts out fears. Love covers sin. Love drives away the enemy. Love, 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 love. And if you want to see somebody come to Jesus Christ, you might not be able to reach them taking Jesus to them, but you can reach them loving them where they are. And through that love, they will find Jesus. Why do you care? Why are you here? Because that is who my Savior is today. He's relational. He's an encourager. I literally was going to give you those 4 things and just move on. But it preaches, doesn't it? So let's quickly look at John chapter 4. Verse number 1, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. That's called empowerment, by the way. You are the one worthy to baptize, but you don't have to be the one to do it. All right, can I tell you this? Leaders, listen to me. You might be the best teacher in the room, but that doesn't mean you have to teach. Sometimes teaching is keeping quiet so somebody else can step up and get it done. Are you with me? My little girl, every time I get out a tool, wants to use it. Yesterday, I had like about a 30-minute blitz at home. I ran home to do something real quick in between work and coming out here to celebrate church with no walls. And I had a board get loose on my deck. And Nathan made the comment. He said, I stepped on it and I fell through. Well, I can't move until that's fixed. Because that's my kids getting hurt, my wife getting hurt. Something happened. So I went in and I got a hammer. You know, I love using tools. Don't know how to use most of them. Don't even know what I'm doing. But I love pretending. Anybody else? As soon as I got my hammer out, here came Canaan. She needed that hammer. So what do? You don't let go. Yeah, Canaan will take that hammer and try to fix a window if you're not careful. So I let her hold it, and we just pick it up and we drop it. Pick it up and we drop it. I'm in a hurry. But my hurry doesn't need to keep me from being a dad. You can be a few minutes late. I even told him, I really wanted to get here and help y'all set up yesterday. You can ask my wife, that's a true testimony. But my son has a little inflatable pool that he lives for every year. And my wife had called me yesterday morning and said, I'm going to fill it up. Well, I know how heavy her plate is. And I actually kind of enjoy being able to do things for them. And I know it's not much just blowing up an inflatable pool and adding some water to it. but I want my kids to know daddy cares too. And so I went home, and guess what? I didn't get to help you set up, but I got to do what I needed to do. And I look at that, and I realize that as we're building those things, that sometimes you get slowed down. Sometimes you're trying to inflate the pool that Lincoln's trying to jump on. I mean, I don't know if this is stuff I should tell publicly, but we had 2 inches of water in the pool before Lincoln was butt naked in the backyard. He was ready to get in. I turn around, and he's like David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. You know, it was, there's a diaper, there's a short, there's a sock, there's a sock, there's a shoe, there's a shoe. Where's Lincoln? Over there naked in the pool. You say, well, you need, it's too cold. It's all these other things. And in your mind, you forget that letting them be a part of it keeps them a part of your life. I want my kids to call me when they're 30. Anybody else say me too? Then you be there when they're 3. You be there when they're babies. You allow them to be a part of what you're doing. And sometimes you may need to get it done, but you can have a greater impact letting them be a part of what you're doing. That's why I will never stop your kids from stepping on this stage. I will never stop them from running in the balcony. I will warn them of the dangers of the balcony, and I will stand and chaperone. You know, but if the Bible tells me that God wants us to come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, then I'm going to let your kids come in and have fun in the place that we call the house of God. I'm going to let them enjoy where they are. Why? Because I want them one day to walk up here and say, let me tell you what Jesus did. Why? Because when they were little, they were allowed to walk up here and play. DeAndre, about 2 months ago, got a microphone standing right here in this spot. And he turned into Michael Jackson right in front of our eyes. Am I right? Little boy started belting, started singing, and all these other things. I had no clue what the guy was singing. But he was going to town. Yesterday, the praise team sang the blessing, and my daughter was all the way up near the power lines. And all of a sudden, she runs over to me, grabs my hands, and the next thing you know, we're dancing up there, and she's singing, oh, man. And I'm just sitting there saying, this is my heart exploding. Why? Because there's a future in her to be able to dance and sing for the Lord. So we're going to be relational in the moment and encourage the moment. You keep dancing. You keep singing. You know what I also heard? While she was singing, and some of the youth started singing, Andre. They're holding out, bro. They got it in them. And I thought to myself, well, man, the not even 2-year-old can get them to do what the 37-year-old can't. Are y'all following this today? God help us that we don't get so busy trying to build a church. We forget about the people. We're growing again, right? Heard that a lot lately. We went through a season. Man, there was some plowing in that season. I think Pastor Dennis came in and did some plowing. Some planting, and that's not easy. He gets the hard season. And I get to walk back into harvest season. Say, let's go. And you know what? People will say this, that, and you know what it is? Who cares? This is what the Bible says. Who cares who plants and who cares who waters? God gets the increase. Shouldn't that be our motivation? Shouldn't that be what we're hoping for, that everybody wins? You're saying not everybody should get a trophy. Well, that is not the anthem of heaven. Yeah, oh, that's real. I'm giving you a word. God wants you to be able to stand there and every person have the blood of Jesus Christ applied and every person be able to stand there singing holy, holy. Every person have the song of salvation angels can't sing. You know, I look at that and I'm like, okay, you know, busy doesn't mean I'm not going to allow you, because sometimes teaching means I hand off the hammer. Sometimes teaching means that I listen. I don't get to be heard today. You know what? Sometimes you should be so involved in ministering that you don't even make the service. We're dreaming about building in a lobby out there. And the dream of building in a lobby out there is that, you know what, while we're in here and we're worshiping, while the Holy Spirit's moving, some prayers are happening out there and some people are getting saved out there and some people's needs are getting met right there. You know what, I'm gonna tell you this. It shouldn't be a when you get into the church, you feel the presence of God. It should be the moment your wheels touch the gravel coming into the parking lot that you are met with the love of God and embraced. We've said it, we need a cares team of people that are in the parking lot ready to go. How many of you noticed that there were more people in the parking lot greeting you today? How many of you noticed that? How many of you enjoyed that? I did too. I got to get out there and I got to love on people, got to have conversations that I don't normally get to have. You know what I also love about it too? is I didn't have to climb the stairs today because I got you before you got to the balcony. I got to say hi out there, so I got to be a little fat boy. All right, so anyway, here we go. We may not make it. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. Here's point number one. It took us a long time to get there. He had to go through Samaria on the way. You want to care about people? You better be present. You better be present. You can't care about somebody when you're not there. You know, I mean, how many of you, you know you have to work to pay your bills? How many of you know this? But how many of you wish that there were days you could just take off to spend time with your family? Anybody? That's everybody, pretty much. I mean, I look at some of the retired people, and I got to realize they worked their life to get there. I got to work my life to get there, too. And I admire the ones that instead of spending their entire retirement on some boat across the seas, they're kissing on grandkids. They're daycares. My father-in-law has mad respect for me. He's retired and moved in with us just to watch our kids so we could work. You know, I thought about that the other day. I was sitting there and he's sick and he's a little bit ran down right now. And I was sitting there and I was looking at him and I hope he's watching because I want him to hear it. I try to tell him ever so often how much he means to us. Every time we're able to sell something or every time we're able to accomplish something, I make sure to give it to him. What I mean by give it to him is I come in and I say, hey, this is what I was able to do. I got a new client today. I got this today. We wrote a contract today. Thank you. Because if you weren't here watching my little girl, I wouldn't be able to work. Are you with me? That man could be laying on the couch taking naps 10 times a day, doing whatever he wants to do, but he's a family man. He's somebody that cares about relationship, and you know what he is? He's present. I am thankful for the people that have been present in my life in the difficult seasons. Anybody say amen to that? I am thankful for the people that are present in my life during the good seasons. Say amen to that. I am thankful for the people that have proven that they're going to stay no matter what the season is. I am thankful that there are living, breathing proofs of Jesus that have flesh and bones because they've allowed God to make them relational and they're choosing to be present. And if you're going to care, you got to be there. I love you. I love you. I love you. Whether you're sitting on your couch or whether you're sitting in this auditorium, but you're not going to feel the love we have for you if you stay in your living room. You say, well, nobody loves me. Yes, we do. But I'm going to tell you this. When you're standing in a place with 300 people, 200 people, who cares? All these people. A lot of times your focus gets drawn to where you are. And it's hard to love the ones that are not there the way that they need to be loved. We got to get better at that. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we had a whole team of people that was just calling people saying, how can I pray for you today? How can I care about your needs today? Absolutely. But there's enough hurting and enough broken sitting right here that if we were to attend to each person's needs today, it would carry over into tomorrow and the rest of the week. We would never accomplish it out of just the people in-house. And I'm going to tell you this. We need more people present at Church with No Walls, present in our children's ministry, present on Wednesday nights, present on Sundays, present. You say, well, the church doesn't make me right with God. But if you're right with God, you'll love the church. Just telling you that. You don't need the church to be right with God. But if you are right with God, why would Jesus die for a church that he didn't want you to go to? Saying. Look at this. It goes on and it says, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside them. Well, about noontime. Isn't that, I told y'all weeks ago about that sermon I heard on we're tired. It came from that verse right there. But I will say this, being present means no matter what's going on in your life, that you're going to make sure you're where you are. So can I tell you this? My wife will tell you this is true. Any wife in here will tell somebody that this is true. If you and I are having a conversation, Andre, pop up here real quick, okay? If Andre and I are having a conversation, or if, what if while I was preaching, the whole time I was standing here doing this, or the whole time that Andre's talking to me, I'm standing here and I'm like, yeah, buddy, yeah, that's cool. Is that present? No, that's distracted. Number two, and we'll look at this, is stay here. Be invested. It says this, as soon as the Samaritan woman came to draw water and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink, he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food, being invested. Matter of fact, write it down this way. Love people no matter what, no matter who, no matter where. No matter what, no matter who, no matter where. No matter what you feel, you love the person anyway. Jesus sat down tired and still had enough to love because love was who he is. Does that make sense? And so if I'm sitting here and I'm going to be present, then I need to be present. One of the things my wife told me when we started this journey a year ago was you never look me in the eyes. Now, I have a hard time doing that anyway. I get intimidated looking at people in the eyes. Most of the time, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, I'm staring at your mouth, your nose, or your forehead. I know if you have a booger. You don't. Right? You don't. She went through this dialogue about what it meant to her when I would look her in the eyes and carry on a conversation. Anybody else got the mind that goes 1,000 miles an hour? I'm a terrible multitasker, but I try. Right? Some of you are great at it. You know, there's things in our world that we think are so important that's not as important as this. This. Our connection. I mean, I'll be honest with you right now. If all the people in the world disappeared, then what good is this anyway? This was made to connect us to each other. Satan's a perverter. He's used this to do what? To pull us apart, to disconnect us, to separate us. And somebody just said it, divide and conquer. That's the tactic of the enemy. Get you alone, learn your weakness, and tear you apart. By the way, can I give you something that I got at a Carrie Job concert last week? You're just going to stand there for a second, bro. We match. Yeah. I was standing there and she was singing Lion of Judah. And it hit me. The Bible says Satan's like a roaring lion. But Jesus is one. Isn't that good? I was sitting there, I was like, Satan shows up to Eve and says, you can be like God. She couldn't be one. And it's amazing to me how many times we fall for the imitator that can be like something but can't actually be it. This can be like having a relationship, but it isn't like a relationship. You know, I'd rather somebody look at me and say, man, I really like you, bro. You're my friend. Than to hit a little thumbs up on a screen. Are you with me? I would much rather you be in the picture than looking at mine. I'd much rather sit down and actually have a conversation with you than to try to text you and try to figure out what you mean in that text message. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? We have reduced our relationships to words on a screen that are absent emotion or absent affection or absent a contact. And I'm going to tell you this now. People coming out of COVID, when it is safe and when they are comfortable, they need to know that you're going to make some eye contact, you're going to make some verbal contact, you're going to make some emotional contact and some daggum physical contact, because we do not thrive if we do not love each other, if we do not touch each other, if we do not care about each other. If you take a baby and you put a baby in a crib and you never touch it and all you do is talk to it and smile at it, the baby will have problems when it grows up. It's a proven study. Don't you dare buy this lie that we're better divided. At some point, hey, by the grace of God, hug somebody. Lay hands and believe that God, you can do a shoulder, you can do an arm. Love your family. Your wife needs a kiss. Your kids need a hug. They need you to be present in their lives. Are y'all following this? Jesus, oh God, this is good. Jesus could have gone to the town and saved the town. But instead, he went to the one. Holy Spirit, give it to me. Ready? Here, you want to hear my belief system why? She had a reputation in town. She wasn't liked by town. We know that she was marred in the eyes of the town because when she showed up changed, it was such a change, it woke them up. You following this? This is good. If Jesus would have gone to the town would have left her out. If Jesus would have went and reached them, and multiple times do we see where Jesus went village to village and town to town, multitudes would come to him. 5,000 he fed one time plus women and children. 4,000 he fed one time plus women and children. You got all these moments where he's in the town and the town's so great that he's getting into the boat. But when it came to go to Samaria, the place that nobody was willing to go, the place that they thought was unclean, Jesus cared more about the one than he cared about the town, because he knew if he went to town, he would miss the one. So he went to the one, and through the one, he reached the town. Are you following this? Let's stop trying to reach the multitudes and let's care about somebody today. Let's care about the one somebody that nobody else wants to care about. Are you dirty today? You're safe here. I mean, I'll stand and say it. I will physically fight somebody who tries to say something different. You say, oh, you shouldn't fight. I know. I'm all talk. I'm like a chihuahua. You know, I'm going to bark it, right? You'll fight them. Okay. That's good. If he's fighting, I'm fighting. You leave me hanging, though, I'm out. If you're a sinner today, you're safe here. If you came in today smelling like alcohol, you're safe. If you got drugs in your pocket, you're safe. If it's in your veins, you're safe. If you watched pornography so much last night that you felt so dirty, you're safe. I accept you. We accept you. We'll reject the sin. But to reject the sin does not mean we reject the sinner. It means we stand on behalf of the sinner against the enemy that's trying to take down the sinner. That's why we have Celebrate Recovery. You're safe there. We ain't going to tell your secrets. We ain't going to stand in front of the world. Hey, listen, let all the world tell every secret we've ever had. I will never tell the first persons. You know why? They're safe. They're safe. Why? We're going to love them. You say me too. Would you just raise a hand and say me too? I believe grace has huge things ahead of it. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, my visions came back alive. It's one of the biggest struggles I had coming back. I was so, it wasn't that the visions died. Sometimes we just lose track of what we should have in vision. That's pretty good. It's hard to see what's on this side of the room when you can only look at this side. It's hard to see what's ahead of you when you're only looking back. That's why we talk to some of the marriages and we say, if you're ever going to get ahead, you got to start right here and grow from here instead of trying to build on where you've already been. You make mistakes. How many of you say, I've made some doozies? Just slip your hands out. You make mistakes, he makes it right. And when Jesus comes back into your life, he doesn't say, let's go revisit your past. When Jesus comes into your life, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and judgment at the same time. There is no condemnation should be found in the church today. Matter of fact, the church wouldn't exist today if sinners weren't allowed in it. If we're going to care, we got to be present. We got to be invested. And we have actually got to see and notice what's going on in somebody's life. Number three, write it down. You better notice what's going on in people. Can you tell when somebody's not themselves? Yeah, can you? You can sit down, man. I'm going to keep you the whole time because I just kind of like having you here. It's like, come at me. Andre's here. Now you're gone, so don't come at me. All right, so here we go. Look at this verse, verse number 10. God, I pray that this becomes our heartbeat. In verse number 9, the woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. I think the world would be totally surprised if the church would come off their hierarchies. If the church would come off their self-righteousness. I think the world would be totally surprised if we would love them right where they are. Would you agree with that? She said to Jesus, you are a Jew. And I am double whammy, a Samaritan and a woman. Even the disciples showed up and said, why is he talking to a woman? Why are you asking me for a drink? Will you please grab this? And I don't know if God's going to let us go much further. Look at verse number 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew, the gift that God has for you. If you only knew what God had for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me for a drink. You would know that everything to satisfy what you've been longing for your entire life is standing right in front of you. If you only knew who you were, and if you only knew what God had just sent to you to remind you of who you were, you would know that that satisfaction that you could not find is being realized in this moment. And I am here to take away every abusive word said to you. And I am here to heal your need to be noticed and to be satisfied. Hey, I am here to remove pleasure and to give you satisfaction that will bring you lasting pleasure. I want to give you a well that will spring up into everlasting life, a drink that will make you never thirsty again. You know what he's saying? You're in sin, but I am going to make sin not desirable for you anymore. Write this down, please. Most, if not all people, are in sin searching for meaning. They're not in sin because they want to be nasty. There's something missing. There's a void. There's a hurt. There's a pain that's too great. I know, and was one when on alcohol, I liked the personality I had when drinking. I could be funny. I could be loud, and I could be boisterous. I could go into a crowd and talk. Y'all don't believe it, but I have major social anxiety. We told a couple that last week, and they looked at us, and they're like, no, not you. I'm telling you. Me and my wife, and I give this illustration. We went to a baby shower one time, Chris, when Lincoln was a baby. I literally took two steps inside the door and stood there 25 minutes until somebody spoke to me. Paralyzed. On the way in the door, I looked at my wife, and I said, don't leave me when we get in here. And then my wife is a social butterfly. She just, it was like the door was the cocoon that busted open, and there she goes. She's all, hey, how's it going? She's not going to meet a stranger. My wife took my son and daughter to a soccer game yesterday for one of our kids. We're trying to get around, by the way, if your kid's in our Awana class, we want to go to a program that they're in. We want to know that we're not just here so you can come to church. We're here. We want to cheer on your soccer. I had to work. She went anyway. I told her. I'm going to write this down because this was one of the one times I was right. I told her, if you take Lincoln to a soccer game, he's never been to one, he's going to run on the field. And she's like, well, we'll see. That thought alone keeps me at home. Not Jordan. It's a warrior. Guess what Lincoln did, Jessica? What did Lincoln do? He ran on the soccer field. How far on the soccer field did Lincoln get? About halfway. You know what he did when he got here yesterday? Kicked a soccer ball. First time he's ever kicked a ball with me. It's a good moment. What did my daughter do? She ran on the soccer field. My wife's the person that says, she came home, she said, you know, everybody else looks at him, stares, and says, this is how we live. This is who we are, and if we don't live, we don't live. My wife sees a challenge in Lincoln's life and looks at it as an opportunity. I look at it and claim it as a fear. Say, why are you telling us all this? Because some of you are in here saying, let's praise Jesus. And somebody else is in here saying, if I praise Jesus, then somebody's going to judge me. If I stand and testify, then people who know my testimony are going to come against me. One of the tables yesterday at the church with no walls had not a fatality, what would you call it, Dennis? It had a moment with the grill. The grill won the moment, and the table melted. So Wade brought it up to me, and he was showing it to me, and he was like, it's still functional, and I was like, it's still a table. Matter of fact, is it in there, Wade? Can you get it? Let's close with this. Here's this table that now has a huge burn mark and a melt mark on the side. I think y'all were walking past when we were having this conversation. I mean, tables are what, $45 to $60 a piece? Our tables have this bad habit of disappearing and never reappearing. They're like the worst magicians ever. We get to Thanksgiving every year and we're like, where's all our tables, you know? It's just, that's how it goes. So we don't really want to get rid of a table. We don't want to throw it away because we'll throw a tablecloth on that bad boy, and nobody will know it until they cut their hand on it, you know? I actually even told Wade to take it to the closet and bury it. You hear him digging it out? Bring it up here, Wade. You come with it. Let me give you an illustration of something, and this is totally Holy Spirit. It's in the moment. I want you to grab it, and this is what I want you to look at when you see other people. All right, just stand there and spotlight it. You can model the table. There you go. Let's stand it up. Let's hold it up. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? Everybody got it? Is that how a table's supposed to look? No, but at its character, still a table. God help me. I didn't practice this. You got me over there? Don't turn me into a slingshot over here. 200 pounds. You got 911 on your phone. That's fine. Does it still work like a table? Still function like a table? Do you still eat at this? You know, some people wouldn't eat at it because that just looks nasty. Are you? Some people would see this and they would just say, I can't sit there. Because it has this, you know what we call this? This is our table of testimony. Used to it was a table, but yesterday it got its own story. No other table in that closet has a story. Am I right? This one is the one that went into the fiery furnace and came out a table on the other side. Are you with me? Why is it that when the church sees somebody like this, a lot of times we discard it because we want what's normal? We won't sit and eat with it because it's just not what it should be. There's something different. But I'm going to guarantee you that many times this table is going to have its story told. You say, you're being ridiculous. It'll happen, I guarantee you. This thing will become a conversation piece. Next grill out, guess where this table will be? It's out there. It's now, I mean, this is rugged. Am I right? I mean, if I were to take paint and split it all over here, maybe we start a fad. We start selling them. What did you do to your table? We melted it. You know? Remember, it used to, jeans were just jeans, and now they're holy. I could get Andre back up here again, you know? Like, I mean, that. What we used to patch, they now do on purpose. Am I right? Yeah. I'm going to tell you this now. I don't find many regular tables in the Bible, but I do find the tables of testimony. I don't find many people, and you know they existed. I mean, you really realize that the disciples we know the most about were the ones that caused the most problems. John is the exception to the rule because John was the one that was always close to the one causing a problem. When Peter had a question for Jesus, John was close to both Jesus and Peter. When they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, John is there. Peter's saying, let's build a temple. John is there. It's almost like John was the one that Jesus was using to keep Peter from being Peter. Are you with me? And a lot of times we look at the disciples and we're like, hey, wow, they did great things. We don't even know what most of them did. Why? Until they died, we don't know their story. But once they did something that was unnatural for the cause of Christ, they became famous for it. Most had to die to do that, where the ones that struggled are the ones that Jesus used the most. Are you with me? I don't want to be a church of perfect tables. You say, are you talking physical tables? No. Catch the analogy. I don't want to be a church that only can have perfect people. I'd love to see the marriages that have a story, standing and testifying to the day that they stood by the fire and a little part of them melted, but man, they kept their stability, and yes, they kept their relationship, and now they can stand and give a marriage boot camp because they know what it's like to be tested and survive. I'd love to see the drug addict one day standing and telling about the heroin that is no more because the hero within has run it out of their veins. I would love to see the ones that have been burnt by the world standing and testifying about the goodness of God, because I'm going to guarantee you this. The burnt tables don't care what everybody else looks like.
because they got a story of their own. They got a faith of their own. We need to be the church that cares. They'll never have a testimony if they don't survive this test. And most people will not survive this test unless somebody goes through it with them. And Jesus said, I have to go to Samaria. Jesus said, I got to go to that well. Jesus said, distractions, get away from me. Go get food. Jesus said, give me a drink. Jesus said, why are you talking to me? And Jesus says, because I know what's in you. And I know that if you were to find out what was in you, we're going to change a town today. We're going to change a city today. Not because I'm about to go preach, but because the woman that has had four marriages that failed because she's looking for sexual satisfaction and can find no confidence in the sex of a man. The woman that's looking for relational identity but can find nobody that'll stick it out with her. And she is so broken and wounded by her relationship, she can't even marry the one she's with. Are you following the logic that's happening here? She finally got to a place to where it's like, I'll just let myself go to anything. I'll do a sin that's punishable by death. We can live together in our society and it's not a big deal. It's a natural thing. But to live together outside of marriage in that society was to be dragged outside of a city and stoned. Even if you were a pagan, it wasn't allowed. Are you following this? She had reached a place of brokenness that she had no self-worth, no self-value, didn't believe in herself at all. But Jesus saw who she was, and Jesus knew what she could be. And when Jesus looked at her, he said, hey, if you only knew what was in you, the gift that God has for you and who I am, then you can change. And God help us when somebody walks through that door, our heart is if they only knew. We preach, share all the time. We preached it last week. But unless we care, it doesn't matter what we share. Jesus cared about the one, and the whole town came to see him. Do we really care about each other today? Does it break your heart that Gigi lost her dad? That y'all's family's going through this? Does it break your heart that the guy that was 30 days clean of alcohol now won't answer a phone call? We got a new office manager at Weikert. She showed up at the office with my broker on Friday. She came in and she said, have you heard from so-and-so? An older lady that's one of our agents. I said, I haven't. She said she had surgery 8 days ago and nobody can find her. You know what I thought? That's somebody I want to work for. That's somebody I want to be leading this office. Because it's not about the numbers that the broker can make. And if you're in real estate, it's a cutthroat. But at that moment, what matters most is you drove all the way to Sevierville. He drove all the way to Pigeon Forge just to see if somebody had heard from the lady that's missing. You know what I found out? She used to teach children's ministry. And I thought, hey, that's a leader. That's a like Jesus person. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I would rather us never even be able to have a church service because we're too busy caring about each other, meeting each other's needs, and bringing Jesus to the moment than for us to sing 1,000 songs at the best tones, at the loudest we can do. I'd rather have a party of people getting right with God and feeling like they matter than for us to be up here putting on the greatest performance that has ever been shown. I would rather hear one sinner coming to Jesus Christ than to hear 1,000 sermons that from the best orators that have ever lived. I'd rather see a church alive and real that cares about people than to have a church that is filled with beauty and spectacular programs and all of the things. God help us. We need to care. We need to care. We need to care. Because if we begin to care, then that one will go do the work that God has called them to do. So when I say we need children's teachers, we don't need somebody to fill a position. We need somebody to answer a call. Are you with me? Matter of fact, we feel led not to cancel Awana's, this is the first year that we're going to do kids program through the summer. Because why would we stop it, right? So last week was the last week of Awana's, and this week is the first week of whatever. We need a 4 to 7-year-old teacher that won't say, okay, they have a position, I'll fill it. That'll say, okay, God, okay. I get it. Because I'm going to guess right now that somebody listening to this, he's already been talking to you. You say, I'm not a member, I don't care. In fact, I met a couple yesterday that was at the cookout, and they looked at me and they said, how many is on your membership? Dennis, do you even know? Do you have a clue how many is on our membership? Do you, Rachel? No, and I don't even care. Hey, and we've always said, stop counting numbers, make numbers count. You need to be a member of the family of God, and we can serve together. If you're not saved, get saved, and let's serve together. You say, well, I need to join the church to teach the kids? No. Do you believe Jesus is the only way to salvation? That matters. Do you believe that Jesus died and buried? Can you teach the kids that their hope and their faith is found in Jesus Christ? Can you teach the resurrection? Can you teach the gospels? Do you believe the word of God? That's what matters. I'm not going to go to heaven one day and get a reward because I was a member of Grace Community Church. I'm going to go to heaven today, and my only rewards are going to come through the fact that I'm a member of the family of God. Become a member of the kingdom and then get busy. We need people that next week will get here early 15 minutes just to love somebody in the parking lot. We need people that will stand in this room before a service so that people that have prayer needs could walk in there and have laid hands on before church even starts. We need somebody to be in the room after service is over for the person that God, Holy Spirit got a hold of that they need somebody to talk to. I mean, it's like this. If you're going to go to a UT football game, you got to clean 4 to 5 hours out of your schedule. Why not give Jesus two? Just two. I'll guarantee you this. Speaking from an addict, Jesus will become the greatest addiction you've ever had in your life. And when you see people's lives change, and when you see people revived, resurrected, you'll want to see more. We have Vacation Bible School coming up in 2 months. It'll be a smaller year, so they say, than normal. I just don't want to put an expectation on God. When I say so they, I'm included in the they. It's amazing how I always come to God with doubts and low expectations, and God always comes back with a blown mind. Am I right? See, a lot of times we get into this, and I wanted an intimate moment where I was just talking to the church, but maybe you're sitting at home and you shouldn't be. Maybe it's time for the cause of Christ to become what our heart beats for. I want you to look at somebody right now. Look at somebody right now. Most of you looked at somebody you came with. Some of you had nowhere to look at all. Find somebody and put your eyes on them right now. Would you do that? Tammy, we see you. Turn around. She's on the edge of the seat. She needs a buddy. Yeah. Libby, right on the other end of your row. Chelsea, keep bouncing back and forth. Do you know them? How many of you know the person you looked at? Raise your hand. Okay. Okay. Look at somebody you don't know. Find somebody you don't know. Look at them. Ask yourself this question while you're looking at them. What if it wasn't the message that God brought them here for? What if it was you? What if this service did nothing for them? But your words will keep the gun out of their hands in an hour. You say that doesn't happen. It happens way more than you know. What if your encouragement has them show up and preach again? Right? You ever been there where you didn't want to speak ever again? What if you're noticing them
That was the third point. The last one was he met the need. What if you're noticing them? Became the fire that got them out of bed to go to work tomorrow. That kept them from going home and eating themselves to death. Maybe in their mind just eating themselves alive with what they think or just shoving things down their throat because they're emotional and they don't know how to handle it. I believe this, and I agree with Garrett. I believe the church is the biggest problem in America. He didn't say it that way, but I'll blame him for it. The problems we see are because of Christians. That's how you said it. Hate would disappear in our world if people would love instead, right? So here am I, Lord, send me. Your enemies would disappear if they could just find their freedom in Christ. So here am I, Lord, help me conquer evil with good. Help me not to tweet what I want to tweet. By the way, don't ask God to help you not to tweet something and keep typing. You know what I mean? God, help me not to eat this burrito. No, lay it down. Throw it away. Here am I, Lord. Help me to encourage someone today. See them. You say, but Josh, I'm so tired. So was Jesus. He was carrying the weight of a world. But even tired, he did what he needed to do. He sat down. And he invested. And he noticed. And he met the need. You know what I hear by this? And I'm going to give you a word. All you ministers that are ministering all the time, all the people, our day-to-day staff, all the volunteers that work so tirelessly, and there's a lot of them. It's okay to take a break to rejuvenate. But don't forget, we're never supposed to take a break from loving other people. And even sitting down or on vacation, we can still bring God's truth somewhere, right? I want to challenge you that next week when you come to church, that you spend more time out of your seat than in it. You can keep a 6-foot distance. And you can do whatever you need to do, okay? We're not saying go put yourself in danger. Not saying that at all. But what I am saying is this. Would you realize that if they knew they were loved in that parking lot, then they would be more open to his love in this building? And if they knew that they were loved, that and when you were in Walmart, you weren't dodging people because you were in a hurry? That even if you didn't get milk and bacon, you took the time to care about the person on aisle 3. Are you with me? Oh, that we could love like Jesus. You say, how do we do that? Number one, we got to know his love. And number two, we got to know his method. Jesus never preached without caring first. God help us. If you have an extra dollar, you'll help somebody today. But you won't be in a hurry. And I'm not saying if you've got places to go, I get it. We go long on Sundays. We go long. I know I get told all the time, not by people here, but that if you would shorten your sermons, you would grow your church. But then I think to myself, what are we growing on? What are we growing on? I mean, so what you're telling me is if you would just take the word of God out, people would want to come. Well, they can go to the bar and get that. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit hungry for the things of God. Anybody else? I know who I am without them. Anybody else? You know, I don't want to live my life constantly thinking about the things that are done absent of God. I just kind of want to live my life seeing what God can do if I would just give him this moment and trust him with it. I want to see what God can do if I could just love somebody where they are right now in this moment. You know, we should not be okay with kids in Jefferson County not having food today. We should not be okay with our drug rates in this county going through the roof. You say, well, they need to get right or get out. No, we need to get Jesus in. And you say, well, they need. No, they don't need. We need. And if we had, they would want. I walked up to a grill yesterday with a full expectation of getting a hamburger.
And when I got to the grill, guess what I got? A hamburger. You know what I did? I went and ate my hamburger. You know what I was? Satisfied. Because what they advertised they would have, they actually had. And because they actually had it, I got to eat it. I'm sick and tired of the church saying we love people and then we don't even talk to somebody when they walk through the door. Are you with me? God loves you and God can heal you and God can do that. Oh my goodness, did you hear about Glenn Sin? That is not what Jesus did. Jesus knew her sin, but did not lead with it. He never even brought it up. She did. He said, go tell your husband. And she said, I'm not married. Isn't it amazing? He loved her. And all she could do in return as a result was confess. Oh God, we want to preach on everybody's sin and think that you got to get right, you got to get right, you got to get right, you got to get right. But Jesus knew her sin, didn't preach on her sin, but loved her in the middle of her sin. And as a result of the love, she confessed her sin. And when she went to town, she went a different person. And when she came back a different person. And because of who she became, because of his love, changed everybody around them. God help me, I don't need to know everything you did this week, but I do need you to know that God wants to love you right where you are. And God's going to do that through us today. I even told Garrett, we were talking about it. I couldn't figure out why I love so much announcements being at the end, but we hit it. We found it today. If I don't get off the stage before I dismiss you, I never make it off the stage and I miss a lot of people. Which, by the way, as you leave today, if you feel like I'm being short with you, it's not because I'm being short with you. It's because I want to say goodbye to everybody. If you need to talk to me, stick around. Tim will testify. They will tell you, I will stay till the very last person. I will stay and I will talk to you. My wife last night, she was leaving with the kids. I said, hey, just wait on me. I'm going to go say bye. She goes, I know you better. Next thing you know, I'm getting the 360 notification that Jordan has left church. 45 minutes later, I called her. I said, I'm leaving. She said, I told you. I know you. So you know what? Even at the end of services, I don't even want to close it in prayer because I want to get out there. You matter. You mean something. Family comes natural. You can't help what you're born into. Friendly is intentional and is something we got to work on. Stop being scared of people. How many people will go to hell because we're COVID scared? I can tell you about Jesus through the internet. I can tell you about Jesus 6 feet apart. But I'm going to tell you this now. I can never tell you about Jesus with my mouth as much as I can tell you about Jesus with my love. And we need people that will love people. So bow your heads, close your eyes, whether you're at home or whether you're here. Let's bring it to a close. Sure. I absolutely will. Give me a second. We'll get there. No problem. Not a problem at all. You need this?
Yeah, but then go ahead. All the other tables, let this one come back in there. You know, even though it was burnt, but that gives this table the opportunity to tell the rest of them, don't lean on the grill. This is what it did to me. You know, so when we go through something, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians, when God comforts us, then we can turn around and show somebody else our scars and say, you don't have to wind up like this. You know, our testimony saves a lot of other people from getting hurt the way we did. If we're willing to open our mouth and tell them.
That's good stuff. Matter of fact, one of the ministries that we're going to start at Grace, if it's Grace, or we're going to start in our home, if that's what God wants us to do, I don't know yet. Told my wife, I believe there needs to be a ministry for pastors, twofold. One, I would love to get a group of men together and just tell them the dangers of what would happen if they gave into the temptation that Satan would throw in front of them with women. That the battle that hell will unleash on their confidence. If they give into that. To warn them that there's peace in staying committed and true. That's one fold. Second fold is I wonder how many men of God out there and women of God out there are not able to be men and women of God out there because the church told them they couldn't be. I would love to see our church embrace the fallen pastor. The fallen family. A Galatians 6 embrace. Because your sin should not be your last sermon. It shouldn't be your curtain call. It shouldn't be the end of your story. Because if the sin is the end of your story, then what was Jesus' death for? Jesus died. That wasn't the end of the story. There's a ministry on the other side of the death. There's a ministry on the other side of what sin did to you. There's a resurrection. There's a life. There's a powerful message that happens. And how many people are not standing back up because they fell and nobody was there to help them up? Are you with me? So in my life, it's pastors because that's just where I am. I've been a pastor. I've been a pastor's kid. That's what I've been. And I wonder how many families right now would still be married today had a church come behind them in the fall instead of stepping on them. Are you with me? How many addicts right now would be running rehabs if people wouldn't have just condemned them because they did drugs? Prisoners can't find jobs in the real world, but they should be empowered in ministry to keep people out of jail and to rescue those that are in. The end of the story is not what sin did to you. The end of the story is what God did to sin for you. There's a story to tell. I want you right now to sit right there where you are. I'm going to ask Garrett to come and just grab a mic and get ready. Wait, that was a good word, man. If we had one prayer to pray today, I would hope it would be this. God, make me like Jesus. Give me a vision like Jesus. To see the possibilities of what someone can be if they only knew the gift that you had for them. God, give me the heart like Jesus to go to the ones that nobody else wants to go to. To talk to the ones that nobody else wants to talk to. To love the ones that no one else wants to love. Oh God. Give us a church like Jesus. That will go to the end of the world if that's what it takes to reach the one. That will forgive even in the middle of the attack. That will love beyond the circumstances. That'll make people the most important part of our lives. God, make us like Jesus. Will you take a moment, whether here or at home, just commit yourself, surrender yourself to God, to care. My greatest concern with this moment is we can preach it and believe it. Somebody right here, right now needs it. I don't believe God's going to give you a truth for another time. God's going to reveal it for right here, right now. Brother, I don't know. I don't even know who you are. Orange shirt, four rows back, right over here. I've seen you before. We've met before. I'm just drawn to you right now, man. I don't know why. Are you okay? I just feel like God's got something for you, man. I really do. Forgive me, I don't normally do this, and I hope it's okay. But the whole sermon, you've just been there. Every time I looked over in that area, it was just like your face was glowing. I don't know what that means to you. But I do know you mean something to God. Because I really, 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 really cannot get you off my mind the whole time we've been preaching. So I want to know you more, if that's okay with you. And I don't mean this to embarrass you by calling you out in front of people, but I know what normally happens, right? I'll dismiss and I'll pray and I'll get off the stage and then you'll slide out a different door. And I'll miss the opportunity to say, so I don't want to miss that opportunity. There's something for you, ma'am. It's in you. I'm glad you were here today. Really? Hey, anytime. If you need anything, you want to talk, you want to share what God's doing in your life, I'll be at that door. Don't leave until we get to talk, okay? You don't have to. That's not saying I'm not holding you hostage, all right? But if that's all you needed was God speaking that to you, you have literally been there every time I turned around. So, I love you, man, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your life. Amen. Wade, thank you for being up here. Garrett, would you close us in prayer? And as you pray, would you pray for that young boy's family, Will? Just pray. Just go ahead and do it. He's had a hard time. And if you want to join at the altar, you want to do business with God at your seat, you do as God sees fit. Will's about to lose his mother. She may not make it much longer. And he's a young boy. I hope he's not in the auditorium right now because I don't want to speak that over his life. Let's pray for God's healing, but let's also pray that God captures Will's heart. Is that okay? I'll see you at the door.
All right. One of the things that keeps hitting me as Josh is preaching about care and that wonderful acronym that Cindy came up with the other day just in her head while we were sitting there talking. Some people are very gifted with that. But, and you've probably heard this before, but nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think it's something that we really do need to focus on in a church. I love this analogy. I'm just going to take a second on it, but I love this table. I hope I don't break anything as I drop it down. There we go. When we look at something like this and it happens and we think we just ruined a table, and as Josh said earlier, that people will stay away from this table now because they don't. It looks nasty and it looks like there's a problem and they don't want to go near it. But once we hear the story of the table, just like when we hear the story of someone who may be sitting in this room with us right now who's had a tough background, we want to start being with that person and caring for that person, loving that person. How many people now, when you're at a function here, and we don't want to cover this with a tablecloth anymore, but how many people now would say, this is the seat of honor? When you see this, I got to go sit on that seat. I'm going to put my plate on that spot. That's the one I want. And we need to do the same thing, I think, with people. We do need to love them. And I'm going to say one of the things that I think, if you really want to care for someone and show your love for someone, whatever God's laying on your heart, Josh mentioned it in the message, maybe God's laying on your heart that he's been wanting you to teach the 4 and 7-year-olds. You've been kind of pushing it off. And I'm not just saying that for teachers, but I'm saying it for anybody who has a gift. If you're holding back on that gift, then you're holding back on what God wants you to do. And when you're holding back on what God wants you to do, you're holding back naturally on caring for others. Because our gifts are given to us to help build God's kingdom and care for each other. So please remember that as we go out today. We're going to close in prayer, but let's remember the care. It was an excellent message that God laid on Josh's heart, and thank you for opening up and sharing it. If you would, if you can, stand and let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the message that you've given. Lord, we just thank you that the reminder that we do need to go out and care for others and love them, and we need to be the church. We hear that all the time, but we need to be the church. We need to be Christ for those who don't know him. But we need to give Christ the credit. We can't take it because it's not us. It's you. And we thank you for that. Lord, there's so many people out there right now that are struggling in so many ways, whether emotionally or physically, spiritually. We lift them up to you. Lord, in particular, we lift up Will, Lord, and I just pray for him and for his situation with his mom. I don't know Will, Lord, but you do, and you love him, and you love his mom. I pray for comfort over them and that you would just be with them. I pray that people would come around him and love him and hold him up too. And Father, I think of all the people that are hurting in this church physically and have needs and other emotional things and outside this church too. I just lift them up to you, Lord. May we be your hands and feet, and may we be there for them. Lord, we love you, and we lift all this up in Jesus' name. Amen.